Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The recent attacks, the vandalism, the violence against crisis pregnancy centers have been carried out anonymously, but in the name of choice. They say reproductive choice. Those who have carried these out believe that their choice is going to be taken away should Roe v. Wade fall. So, which organization really offers pregnant women a choice? Planned Parenthood or another abortion facility? Or a crisis pregnancy center? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about pro-choice attacks on crisis pregnancy centers, Patty Knapp, a certified pregnancy care counselor on Long Island, author of a column for The Federalist titled, It's Not Pro-Choice to Attack Pregnancy Centers That Offer Choices. Patty, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks very much for having me.
Why are crisis pregnancy centers being threatened, vandalized, and burned over the last several weeks?
You know, it's just unbelievable. Obviously, these people are enraged, but it's so distorted and misguided because, first of all, some of them seem to think there will be no abortions ever again anywhere in the U.S., and many states it's going to remain legal in, for example, New York, and I think it's about 20 or 22 states. And other states are now working to have it, I forget what the legal term is, so that their state law will allow abortion. So the Supreme Court decision basically just says it's being turned over to the states. So that's the first thing. But then these people that are doing the attacks, their mantra is choice. I mean, isn't that what we've been hearing? Planned Parenthood, their motto outside their building and on their website, choice no matter what. Well, it's the pregnancy centers that are offering the choice. Planned Parenthood is not talking about adoption. They're not talking about, oh, the pregnancy center up the street, and we usually are up the street or across the street, you know, intentionally. You can go to them, and everything is free, and you can talk to them about ways they can assist you keeping your child. They have maternity clothes and cribs and car seats and diapers, and they can provide everything free until the child is 2 or 3 or 4 years old, depending on the center. In my 10 years at the pregnancy center where I am, and Planned Parenthood is like a 3-minute walk up the street, never once has Planned Parenthood sent somebody over. Oh, you're remotely thinking about adoption? Well, why don't you go up the street? No, they emphasize all the negatives of having a child. You mentioned the relationship isn't great. You don't have a fabulous job. You haven't finished school yet. You know, it's very expensive. And they don't want the girl to slow down and think and pray. They want her to make a fast decision when she just found out she's pregnant, when she's most vulnerable. So the attacks really just on their face, they don't make sense because these people know that the pregnancy centers, yeah, we don't offer the choice of abortion, but we tell them the negatives about it, and we help them either keep their child or place for adoption.
How have the media reacted to these crimes?
Well, unless you listen to Catholic, Christian, or conservative media, you're not going to get the full picture. The tone is, well, what do these pregnancy centers expect? You know, a lot of women are angry now that they're not going to be able to continue having abortions. And they're not making the point that it's the pregnancy centers that are offering the choices. I've never heard a mainstream media outlet talk about how Planned Parenthood routinely turns the ultrasound screen away from the mother. Now, I've told this to people who think I'm making it up, including pro-lifers, you know, long-term pro-lifers that didn't realize Planned Parenthood is that deceitful and that manipulative. But I've had young women who've been to Planned Parenthood tell me the screen was turned away from them. Okay, so the question then is, well, then why the heck are they doing them? They're doing them for their own purpose, to see the size of the baby, how much work is involved, and how much they're going to charge. And I've had these mothers say to me, well, I said, I'm planning to keep my baby. Can you turn the screen towards me? And the ultrasound tech says, I'm sorry, that's not our procedure. Yet they call it a choice. I mean, obviously that's a deception. So just on the ultrasound aspect alone, we're the ones that are giving the choice. Immediately when someone has a positive pregnancy test with us, we want her to see her ultrasound. I mean, isn't that what the choice is about? And Planned Parenthood knows that when the mother sees the baby, the maternal instinct kicks in. That's how God planned it. You know, the mother starts to love her baby and bond with it, and she's much less likely to abort. It would cut into their business if Planned Parenthood showed it. There's even research that when a particularly vulnerable young woman to the abortion sale sees her ultrasound, when I mean particularly vulnerable, like, she hasn't graduated from high school yet. She has no family support around her. She doesn't have a job. You know, a lot of risk factors. She goes in and they're pushing hard to close the deal on the abortion. Well, even for her, if we can get her to see an ultrasound, 80 to 85% of the time, right then and there, seeing the screen, she changes her mind. Because nobody can lie to her after that and say, oh, it's just a blob. It's just a clump of cells. We can take care of your little problem. So that's why the ultrasound is so important, and that's why you see people praying in front of abortion centers with signs or flyers saying, can I please offer you a free ultrasound? So going back to the choice issue, it's so hypocritical, and it's something that really, you know, it makes a lot of us pro-lifers crazy that they're infuriated at us, and we're the ones, if you've noticed, these centers that have been attacked, what's the reaction been? Okay, so I saw the Buffalo, New York, the director of that pregnancy center that was attacked. What was his reaction? He said, Jesus Christ loves everyone, and we will be praying for these people. I mean, no one is trying to hunt these people down and slash their tires or spray paint where they work or where they live. No one has retaliated. We are the peaceful, prayerful ones. We're the ones that want the women to have a choice so they can make an informed decision.
What do crisis pregnancy centers do?
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, the main people we're trying to reach are young women who are considering an abortion. So we'd call them abortion-minded. But we also help women who know they're keeping their baby, and they come into us to talk about childcare, breastfeeding, relationships. Most pregnancy centers are Catholic or Christian-based, so we're educating on the harms of birth control. We promote abstinence until marriage. We promote marriage, going to church. And if it's someone who she's going to keep her child, we offer her, of course, the ultrasound and maternity clothes and baby things. She can come every 3 months until her child is two for the next size clothes. And if she's switching from a bassinet to a crib, or, you know, an infant car seat to the big car seat, all of those things are free. And, you know, that helps a lot. But the ones we're trying to reach, if they come in, sometimes it's because someone has told them about us. So very often it's because people are praying in front of the abortion center up the street or across the street, and they'll say to the girl, inside they're going to charge you for everything and you're not going to get the whole truth. Why don't you go over there? And they give them a flyer or a card. Everything they do is free. At least go talk to them first. And so it's very important what these people praying do, what they do. And I might add, some of them have had an abortion in their past themselves, including some of the people who work at pregnancy centers. That's another little known fact, because the mainstream narrative is everyone who's had an abortion is thrilled with their decision and they never thought about it again. Well, that is very false, and there's all kinds of ramifications for men as well as women. But anyway, when they come to us and they're thinking about an abortion, we confirm the pregnancy test, then we want them to see their ultrasound, and we talk to them about risk factors from an abortion. Breast cancer, the number one risk factor is abortion. You don't hear that very much, but it is. The second biggest one is use of the birth control pill. There's a lot of grief and depression after an abortion, and there can also be anger too, especially thinking back later, a woman realizes, wow, they turned that ultrasound screen away from me. Maybe if I had seen that, I would have made another choice. You know, there are post-abortive women who have said that. So it's grief and anger. There's a lot of drug and alcohol use, subsequent relationship problems. Most relationships where there's an abortion end. So we tell them that, because sometimes we get a young girl who's thinking, well, he wants me to have an abortion. If I have the abortion, I'll save the relationship. And 2 months later, she's lost both. And there's a 6 times greater risk of suicide. Now, that doesn't mean everyone who has an abortion commits suicide, but obviously that's an enormous psychological effect. And that's been known for a while, and now there's been more research on men that are post-abortive, and they find that very often the men don't connect problems they're having in their life with a previous abortion. Like, they're angry, they're having relationship problems, they're not getting along with people, they don't really know why, they're depressed, they're having blow-ups, drinking and drugs. So it's really about choice. Why don't the abortion providers tell them? I mean, if you're going to have any kind of surgery, they tell you, even if there's like a minuscule chance of something. They're not telling them risks that have much bigger risk factor. And we tell them the different ways that we can help them. We tell them that 5 or 10 years down the road, if they decide to place their baby for adoption, they'll always know in their heart that they made the best of an unplanned situation. They rose to the occasion. They can choose the adoptive parents. You know, pregnancy centers across the country, we get pleading letters. I got one just the other day, or emails or phone calls from couples looking to adopt. Sometimes they've made up cards or they make copies of their letter. They ask us to give them out to the moms, asking to please be considered. They show them the cousins, the grandma, the dog, the backyard, because they know that we are seeing these women that are thinking about an abortion. And they're saying to these women, we can't have a child. We would do anything to adopt your child, knowing nothing about the background, any child. And they'll pay all the expenses. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen very often. They usually either keep the baby or they abort. But Planned Parenthood is not giving them handmade baby blankets. They're not saying, well, if you keep your baby, we can help you for 2 years. Or if you want to think about adoption, we'd be happy to help you with that. They're only talking about the choice that makes them money.
The pro-abortion activist often accuses pro-lifers of only caring for the baby in the womb, not afterwards. How do you respond to that?
Well, like I said, we offer all kinds of material aid after the baby is born, usually for at least 2 years. All the pregnancy centers, our staff, we're trained in post-abortion counseling. So we are compassionate for the women who have had an abortion and they're struggling with that. One other risk factor is future miscarriage and infertility. And I've spoken to women who've had abortions at Planned Parenthood, and they were not told that was a risk factor. That is horrible to not tell someone. Imagine it's a girl's first pregnancy and not telling her, this could be the only child you'll ever have. And that has happened. So as far as only caring about the child, you know, that's a convenient little euphemism, like choice, that the pro-aborts are using. But I see a lot of love and compassion I've seen coworkers be there when a young mother has no one around her. They go and they're at the hospital when the baby is born. They have baby showers for her. They offer to babysit. That wouldn't make any sense to only care up until the time the baby is born.
Do you expect the violent attacks on crisis pregnancy centers to increase if Roe is overturned?
Well, so many people are praying against that, but one of these groups came out with a statement a day or two ago saying they're going to pick up their actions and saying we have to get physical or more physical. So, you know, it's a little hard to be optimistic right now. I think it's about a dozen states so far that have had these pregnancy centers attacked. I do notice that they're all in Democrat-controlled states. Maybe they're thinking, well, the Democratic Attorney General isn't going to do anything about it. We really pray for a change of heart. We really feel that at the root of this is evil and that these people need a spiritual conversion to understand the very basics, thou shalt not kill and love one another, and also to consider the thousands and thousands of people that are waiting to adopt. I would love to ask one of them, what is it about what we're doing at pregnancy centers that you hate so much? I don't even know if they know what we're doing, because before they throw a Molotov cocktail through a window, they're not asking to come in for a little tour to find out what we do.
Patty Knapp is a certified pregnancy care counselor on Long Island. She's author of a column for The Federalist titled, It's Not Pro-Choice to Attack Pregnancy Centers That Offer Choices. You can read it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Patty, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Next week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Ryan Anderson about how abortion harms everything and solves nothing. We'll discuss the vocation of citizen with Dr. Victor David Hansen. We'll have Pastor Ted Geese review the movie Jurassic World Dominion. And we'll talk with Dr. Rachel Ferguson about black liberation through the marketplace. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.